We put some questions to Tim LaHaye, an expert, and got some very good answers. Our first question was, what specific events happening today suggest that this is really the end times?
Well, the most specific of all events has to be the regathering of the children of Israel in the land. And we kind of put the pivotal date as 1948, when they were recognized as a nation. Dr. John Walvoord, who's probably the most respected authority on Bible prophecy living today, has called that the super sign of the end of the age. And I would certainly agree, because, and it's really twofold, I like to emphasize, the miracle of 1,700 years without a homeland. It's unprecedented in all of history. I'm a student of history and majored in it in college and seminary and so on. And I find that no nation in the history of the world has been able to succeed 300 to, at best, 500 years of being uprooted from its homeland and scattered to some other place. Then sooner or later, they sink beneath the sands of time. And yet here we have Israel, 1,700 years later, is able to be gathered from Russia and from America and from Europe and all over the world down into the Holy Land. And today we have 6 million of them. And to recognize, to fail to see that that is the hand of God bringing them back, which is one, a miracle, and number two, it is prophetically strategic. And as a matter of fact, the gathering together of Israel beginning back in the First World War could very well be the beginning of the birth pains that Jesus talked about in Matthew 24. And I find that all other signs fall into place as a result of that.
We asked Tim LaHaye to what degree militant Islam is a part of the end time scenario.
That's an interesting question, and I think scholars of prophecy are confused about that, because it's a phenomenon that we thought was kind of done away with, and that Israel would be the target of Russia and the Arab hordes that come down with Russia, and that still may be. It's still, you know, geopolitically possible, and I think that Russia is still the designee of Ezekiel 38 and 39. And if that happens in the next few years, then God is going to supernaturally solve the Islamic problem. But the bitter hatred between the Arab world and the Jewish world that goes way back to Bible times is coming to a focus. And the interesting thing is the whole world is focusing on the Middle East, just like the Bible predicted that that would be the center stage. And when I was writing our fiction series of books, I was intrigued by how many trips the Antichrist took to Jerusalem. And it's almost like he had an obsession. Here he is, the king of the world. He's got a new Babylon, head of a new commercial system, the whole thing for 7 years. And yet he finds himself going down into Jerusalem. That's one of the reasons we know that preterism can't possibly be true, because they claim that Nero was the Antichrist. Well, Nero never was in Jerusalem. How could he desecrate the temple in Jerusalem when he was never there? So there are a lot of things that haven't been fulfilled. But the Antichrist is focusing in on the end times, and we haven't even gotten to the time of the Antichrist yet. And yet, every night on the evening news, what nation do we see? We see Israel. And put that in perspective, a missionary out in Singapore told me, if you drew a circle around Singapore for 2,000 miles, you would encompass 50% of the world's population. Now, when did we see Singapore on the evening news last? Yet that's the center of the world's population. Instead, the world's eyes are on the Middle East. And frankly, Zola, I know you love America and you love Israel as I do. I want to tell you, I'm convinced that the blessings of God on America, in spite of all the things we've done wrong, murdering the unborn and pornography and crime and drug pushing and all the rest, and I'm not ignorant of all of the evils of America, and yet God continues to bless our country. And I'm convinced the reason, or one of the reasons, is because we've been good to the Jew. I am so proud of America and to be an American for a number of reasons. But one is we have an unprecedented history of being good to the Jew. Sure, we're not perfect, but you cannot find another nation where Jews have been welcomed into our country and made to be first-class citizens. Why, they serve in the U.S. Senate. We've got a Jewish senator that's going to run for the presidency of the country. Where do Jews have that kind of freedom? And they're able to buy up major corporations and invest in new business, and they have the same freedom all the rest of us have. And God's unconditional promise, I will bless those that bless you, is the promise that we're seeing fulfilled in America today. And that's why I'm trying to encourage the church to take advantage of the blessings of God in material things and in freedom and so on to propagate the gospel around the world. That's what we're really for, so that we can take advantage of advancing the cause of Christ during this unprecedented time of blessing. I just hope and pray that America will never change this national policy toward Israel.
Well, the end time scenario is complex. There are many facets to it. Militant Islam is just one of those. Another is the doctrine that the church has replaced Israel. We asked Tim LaHaye to comment on that.
Well, the replacement theology or supersessionism or something, they've got fancy theological words for, the church has replaced Israel in the plan of God. I would say that people that teach that, either, number one, are ignorant of the Bible, or two, they don't take the Bible literally. Because Paul makes it very clear, there are three categories of people in this world. There are Jews, there are Gentiles, and the church of God. And either Jews or Gentiles can get into the church the same way by personal faith in Jesus, but there are either, though, you're either one of those three categories of people. And I'm convinced also from another standpoint, and that is there are so many passages of God's promises to Israel that if Israel doesn't fulfill those promises, then God isn't faithful. And we know that's an unthinkable thing. I know people say, well, we the church now replaces. No, the church was started differently at a different time in history. It had a different mission than Israel, and it has a different future. The church is one of these days going to be all gone at the same time. When Jesus shouts from heaven and we're taken up into the air, we meet our loved ones in the clouds and then in the air, and then we're with the Lord Jesus in the Father's house during the 7 years of tribulation. Then we come back, and at that point in time, the Jews and the saved Gentiles will go in and populate the millennium. And we will have the priceless privilege of ruling and reigning with Christ in that new millennium that is just going to be beyond comprehension. And then after that, God's wonderful plan is heaven. That's one of the things I've tried to address in my newest book, The Merciful God of Prophecy and the Wonderful Plan He Has for You in the End Times. I've seen in a new light how merciful God is, as seen from the prophets. The Hebrew prophets tell us, they define God's nature as merciful, gracious, long-suffering, slow to anger, repents of doing evil, and He's merciful and forgiving. Now that's the kind of God people need in this 20th century. Of course, we need an omnipotent, supreme, a God of creation and the judge of the universe. But I like to pray like the Lord Jesus taught us to pray, Our Father, which art in heaven. You know, when the disciples asked Him that question, and I think this kind of is tantamount to a personal relationship to God, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Well, He didn't say, pray, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth, Sovereign of the universe, and Remember of all things. He didn't say that at all. He said, pray, Our Father. Whenever I hear those words, it's such a tender view from the Savior Himself, who knew the Father best, on how we mortals, after we're saved, can pray to God. And then another interesting thing I found about the merciful God is He's revealed through the prophets. Nowhere in the Bible have I found God saying to mankind, all you perfect people, turn and come to me. He doesn't have that kind of a selective office. In fact, the miracle of miracles is here we have this holy, righteous, almighty God, and he says to sinners like Israel, when Israel had committed every foul sin of idolatry, spiritual abomination, and fornication, he said, turn to me with all your heart, and I'll receive you. I find that absolutely incredible. In all of history, how many world empires have there been? 4 world empires. And there have been many who've tried, Genghis Khan and Napoleon Bonaparte and Adolf Hitler, and the list goes on and on, of would-be world dictators. They've all failed. Why? Because God said there would be 4 until the end times, when a confederation of 10 would get together, and then they would elect their, or appoint the Antichrist. Well, my point is, God has revealed himself. Prophecy is history written in advance. These false prophets couldn't do it. The gods of this world cannot predict the future, but the God in heaven can reveal it through his prophets, and that's what he's done. And here we have the Bible with over 1,000 passages that were prophetic at the time they were written. And all the prophecies that had to do with up till the present time have been fulfilled exactly as the prophet said. And that's why I take the Bible literally and take prophecy literally. If you've had half of them, all of the ones that should be fulfilled up to this time, which are half the prophecies ever written, if they've been fulfilled literally, then those that have to do with the yet future will be taken literally. And in case any of our listeners have a question of who Jesus is, I'd like to highlight that in relationship to the fact that there are 109 at least, maybe more, but 109 prophecies about Jesus' first coming that he fulfilled literally. Like, everybody knows where Jesus was born, in Bethlehem of Judea. And if it weren't for Christmas carols, I don't think they'd understand that the prophet predicted he would be born in Bethlehem 500 years before he was born. And then there are 108 other prophecies. But my point is, the first coming of Jesus is a certified fact. Historically, no one with any historical sense denies that Jesus literally lived. Well, there are 3 times as many prophecies concerning his second coming as concerning his first that is a fact. So if the first one is a fact with only 109, then the second coming with 321 predictions is certain to come to pass. And Zola, that's what you and I really are in business for. That's our passion. That's what drives us all over the world and around the world, teaching and writing and communicating, that we don't want anyone to be left behind, but we want them to realize the fact that Jesus is coming could be rapidly approaching, and we want them to know him personally and be ready to receive him.
Well, replacement theology is, of course, one error being made today. The lack of prophecy teaching, I think, is another error, and it leads to Tim LaHaye's work. We asked him, what is the reason for the immense success of the Left Behind series?
That's probably one of the most prominent questions that I'm asked today, and from Larry King to Bill O'Reilly to who knows who. They all want to know, what's the secret? It's almost like they're coming from the place where who in the world but a few fundamentalists would ever be interested in prophecy. Almost everybody that has any recognition of what's going on in the world today wants to know what's going to happen in the future. We have the Twin Towers exploding and almost 3,000 people killed in just about 2 hours. And then we have all kinds of world-shaking events happening all over the world. And then you have pipsqueak dictators that have found the way of developing weapons of mass destruction and bacterial warfare. I mean, this is a scary time. I don't mean to be a doomsday prophet, but I'm just pointing out that people's hearts are beginning to fail them for fear. And I might point out that that's a prediction that the Bible said, in the last days, men's hearts would fail them for fear. But if you know the prophecies, you know that God isn't going to let man destroy himself. That's what people are afraid of. In fact, I read a book titled in the Washington, D.C. Book kiosk just a few weeks ago, and the book title was The End of History. Now, that doesn't sound very optimistic to me, but scientists and historians today are looking at what's going on, and they say, hey, this world is out of control. In fact, Jimmy Carter's national security advisor back in 1975 or something like, in 75, Brzezinski, wrote a book entitled Out of Control. And he's talking about the world is out of control. And he's concerned that the last century was the most barbaric century in the history of the world. And if we continue to go and this century is more barbaric than the last, what's going to happen to the human race? Well, we can tell you what's going to happen. Jesus is going to come before man can destroy himself from the face of the earth.
We talked with Tim about the idea that the seminaries really aren't teaching prophecy these days, and his series Left Behind really does.
Well, fiction is a vehicle to the mind, just like you're using television to get into the minds of people, the message that you have. I use fiction, and it's a way of circumventing the pulpit, and unfortunately, you're right. Our seminaries have been silent or hostile to the teaching of prophecy, even though 28% of the Bible was prophetic when it was written. I can't understand. It's just like wiping out over a quarter of the Bible and say, well, we won't touch that. And it's the most motivating force in the world. We've come back in fiction and presented these factual events of prophecy in a fictional way, and people have gotten hooked. And, Zola, you get a kick out of this. Last year, I won't mention the denomination, but at one of the annual conventions of an American denomination, a liberal denomination, by the way, someone brought up the case on the floor of the convention that they what should they do about the popularity of the Left Behind series of prophetic books. And they discussed it for a few minutes and passed a resolution that they notify their churches and their pastors to preach more on the Reform view of eschatology. So it's obviously a Reformed denomination. And so they sent out a message that this was decided officially and voted on by the delegates at their convention. So they sent this letter out to, I guess it was an email, to all the pastors. And in it they told them what had been decided, and they said, now teach the truth, but be careful not to speak out against the Left Behind series, because so many of your people are reading them, they will get upset at you because they like them.
Talking with Tim LaHaye is very enlightening, obviously. He's alert to prophecy developments and so on. But so are a lot of teachers, you know, and when I was saved 30 years ago, I mean, this was the popular subject in the early 70s. Hal Lindsey's book really started, The Late Great Planet Earth. I remember buying a copy of that as an unbeliever when I was in college, and I read it, and I was fascinated. I think it was part of the one of the baby steps toward salvation, but I understood that at least that the Bible prophesied a situation very like we had around us back then. And then Dallas Seminary, which I was very close to, I'm one of the speakers on their approved chapel list and so on. It's just a pretty careful list, and I appreciate being on it, but back then, that was the talk over there, and at Moody and so on. Israel has just won the Six-Day War. I'm talking about the very early 70s. Everybody was on Israel's side. It was obvious God was bringing his people back. They were right after all, the ones who held out for the Jews coming back to the land in a proper end times scenario that did not include replacement theology. God wasn't finished with the Jews. He was going to restore them and rebuild the promised land. That was the atmosphere then. Then there came boycotts. Islam started to blame Israel and so forth. The media picked that up. Things got a little crosswise. Arafat was doing his work, and it got to a situation where people started to turn their backs on Israel and on prophecy for various reasons. And we come all the way to today where I go to a church to teach prophecy and I'm some kind of specialist. That shouldn't be. Prophecy's one-third of the scriptures. it's not a specialist that teaches prophecy, but just a Bible teacher. It's the bread and butter. And it's left instead to authors like Tim LaHaye, Hal Lindsey, teachers like myself or Dr. Welver, the others, more like the old school, you know. And it's just at the time the end really is drawing near. I remember once over dinner with Hal Lindsey, I said to him, you know, Hal, you're getting gray, and so am I. And looking behind us, there doesn't seem to be any teachers coming along doing this stuff, teaching the end times. And Hal Lindsey has a way of putting his finger right on the truth. And he said, you know, maybe there doesn't have to be. We're the last of the Mohicans. The end really is here. And you don't need more end times prophecy teaching. Could be. Maybe the phenomenal success of Left Behind is that people are starving, even unbelievers are starving, because a lot of them are buying these books. And they are learning prophecy despite the unwillingness of others to teach it. And many of them are going to be ready, where some people who play at going to church and so on are not going to be ready. So we were happy to talk with Tim LaHaye and to talk about the Left Behind series. And by the way, we heartily recommend it. Nothing wrong with those books, whatever. People ask me that all the time. What do I think of them? I think they're wonderful. Simple as that.